Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I went across to Plymouth Argyle last home match, yeah. And I went behind the. They asked me to do this halftime draw, but across the other side of the pitch. So I had to walk round past all the Argyle fans, which were fabulous. They all give me a grug. And then as I'm coming back round, these like five lads there. Hey, Neil, you've got to die for 3 points. So I walked. I said, just hang on. This guy was walking round me. So I went towards them, right? And I got them all. Come here, lads. Come here, five of them. Put them all together. I said, you're wrong. You've got to fucking die. Can't do that on our programme, can we?
No, we can.
Oh, can you? Right.
Lino, how do you work that one out? You know, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful, haven't
I? I'm sorry and all this. That's a lot of. You've got to die to get 3 points.
Welcome along to the latest episode of Die for 3 points. My name's David Prutton, alongside, of course, the main man here. It's Neil Warnock, and joining myself and Neil today is Jackmates. Let me just give you some figures, Neil. 1.4 million subscribers on YouTube, over 450,000 Twitter followers, nearly 300,000 Instagram followers. Jack, what on earth does all that mean, please?
I mean, they sound good, but work out how many of those people actually like me, and then we'll talk about it. No, yeah, I've been doing it long enough, mate, so they've slowly crept up over time. But can I say what an honour it is to be on here, Neil? I'm a big fan of you, mate.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, a lot of sad people around, isn't there?
We're after these followers. This is what we're going to do.
Sorry. So, okay. Yes. All right, sorry.
Sad people that need cheering up. That's okay. What we're going for. All right. Really. And it's fascinating to have you on, Jack. I mean, I looked at... the YouTube bio, another YouTube personality with little personality is how you kind of self-deprecatingly put it.
It's just an easy little win, isn't it? Be self-deprecate and win them round at the start. And with a face like this, you do need to win them round at the start. So,
I've been doing that for about 40 years now.
The difference is people actually like you, Neil. So.
Yeah, right, so let's start at the beginning. Neil, Jack, Neil, what's your, first impressions, but also understanding of Jack, mate.
Listen, I don't know how to turn a computer on me, but I really appreciate and look at what people have done, and in Jack's case, from nothing to build something up like this. Whilst we have a laugh and a joke, it's taken a lot of hard work and it's taken a lot of thought into what he's doing to get the success that he's got. I always believe in life. If you work hard, you get the success. So it's interesting for me, even though I don't know what Jack does, I haven't got a clue what he does. Me, it's obviously successful.
Yes,
and that's what I appreciate. I appreciate people like that. So
first impressions of Neil Warnock, then, Jack.
I mean, I just love the man. Like I've just got to tell a little story now. Me and my friend, I've got to give a shout out to him straight away. Joel Meredith, right, is Neil's biggest fan, and we were going to a festival in the summer. And we watch the compilation clips of Neil's funniest moments all the time. Think they're bloody great. And we were going to get a big flag printed out of Neil photoshopped with 3 pints saying you've got to die for 3 pints, and we was going to take that. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time in the air. But no, we're big fans of you, Neil. So like I say, it's a pleasure to meet you and be on this.
Because from your point of view, you're a football fan, a West Ham fan.
Huge fan, yeah.
But you're not...
We've all got problems.
Exactly. We can talk him out of this by the end of we finish this, Neil, can't we? Yeah. But your podcast, the YouTube platform, it's not specifically football, is it? And apologies if I'm asking you questions that millions of listeners and followers would say, well, it's quite obviously this. And I was listening to you on the way in today, and there's a lot of things nowadays with regards to podcasts and opinion pieces where there's got to be something serious at the end of it. There's got to be a theme. There's got to be, let's get somewhere positive. Let's solve something. Mm-hmm. The great thing about a lot of the ones that I listen to of yours is it's called the happy hour for a reason, isn't it? You come off the back of it thinking, what have I learned today? It could be this, it might not be this, but you come out bouncing. Is that the kind of main theme of what you want from yours?
Yeah, 100%. I first made my name on YouTube by being a bit of a knobhead, really. Like the sort of go-to story I always say is I wanted to be a YouTuber. I looked up to all these YouTubers and I met them at these like YouTube conventions, and I don't know if you can swear on here or not, but...
Depends which word you're going to use.
Pricks.
Gets a thumbs up in the gallery, yeah.
Can you have that one?
Yeah,
right.
It's a sliding scale of what you can and can't use.
I never swear, so yeah, it doesn't affect me. Carry on.
A lot of them just weren't real people. Like I'm from a sort of council estate in Norwich, and I'd meet these people who were like heroes of mine doing what I wanted to do, and the first thing they'd say when they come over is how much you earning or how many YouTube subscribers you got. And I thought, this isn't real life. Like this isn't. So I then became kind of like the anti-YouTuber, and they were selling like t-shirts to their kid viewers for like 70 quid, and I thought, it's not on, they're just ripping them off. Yeah. So I became this anti-YouTuber that would call them out and make jokes about them and stuff. And then after a few years, my passion was always to interview people and learn about people and just have a laugh with people, really. I studied interview techniques at college and got my 73-year-old granddad in to interview him.
Nothing wrong with that, eh?
Nothing wrong with that, Neil. Okay. Nothing wrong with that, mate. So long story short, I made this podcast and I thought, I'm sick of moaning about people and like just sort of calling people out for this, that and the other. I'm going to call it Happy Hour.
Yeah.
We're going to have a laugh. And I've been lucky enough to build up like a portfolio of interesting people that I've met along the way who I can lean on to come on the show. And
all different walks of life as well, isn't
all
it?
All different, from your A-listers to your... We've had the likes of Ricky Gervais on, to like last week we had a guy called Raphael Rowe in who was wrongly sentenced to prison for life for a murder he didn't commit. So anyone with a story...
Sounds like the start of the A-team.
That'll be next week. Anyone with a story, we sit down with them and ultimately just have a laugh. So I know Neil's going to come on as well. So our main focus with that is to learn about Neil and his career and everything you've done, but also to have a laugh as well. And that's why I think you'd be the perfect guest, because you are a serious football manager with real pedigree, but also you're not afraid to have a laugh as well, as we've seen in these YouTube clips.
I do think that is I think as a manager I've always tried to sort of give the fans that I've managed something to smile about. And I think like
and the players, as you were
yeah,
saying.
And the players, and we talked about the pandemic and how bad it was, and my press conferences, how I used to make them all laugh, and I think that's going out of the game at times. Humour's gone a little bit. Everybody's got the pads and all that luck and the notes, and like Jack says, you forget sometimes you've got to have a laugh. Life's too short, really, and you've got to enjoy it, and that's. And I'm looking forward to doing Jackson, because I think it's something away from my level, are you with me? So, but I've learned in the last few months, when I've gone across to the social media side, just how important it is with my kids. Mm-hmm. My kids love it. And, there's me cycling in Scotland and it's so many million hits. And I think, what are people doing? But that's how it is, isn't it? And I have enjoyed making people laugh. They've all smiled at it. So, I do... When I was a manager, I wanted to put a smile on my press conference. I don't think we're ever boring, David. And I don't want my life to be boring now, because I'm coming to the end of it. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, as a MO, it's a very respectful and highly respected one. You talk about views, Neil. I've just, again, looking through YouTube, 175 million views, ballpark figure of the content that you've put out on that particular platform. So I mentioned the figures at the very, very top, and again, forgive me for sounding a bit like a Luddite in this, but it's stuff that myself and Neil have chatted about and looking at it more and podcasting and all that type of stuff. How do you get from wanting to do it as you did mm-hmm. to what you do now? Because it is your career, it's your living, it supports you and your family, and it's mm-hmm. it's extremely lucrative, isn't it?
Fruitful.
Yes, yeah. fruitful is a less money-based way of saying it, yeah.
It took me a long time. I think I was doing it, I was doing two videos a week, every week for about 7 years before I ever even made a penny. Mm. And I think the first sort of 5 years I was doing it, I didn't even know you could make money from it. I didn't know that was a thing. And then I saw some YouTubers talking about their paychecks and I was like, hello, there's something to be sort of made from this. Mm. But the toughest thing is, I think everyone, every man, woman and dog has got their own social profile now. Mm. Everyone knows them. Everyone can look them up and see what they're doing. So it's actually establishing your character. So as authentic as I feel both myself and like we're both authentic characters online. Yeah. But people know and have loved you for years, Neil. So you've already broken down.
Believe it or not, there are one or two people opposite. Right. You know, that dislike me.
We're hunting them.
I know it's hard to understand.
We'll find them.
Yeah, same here though, mate. Same here. But you just crack on, don't you? But yeah, that I think that's the hardest thing is like, although I'm 100% authentic in what I broadcast, like I can't sit in a podcast studio for as long as I do every single week and keep up an act or like it just wouldn't work. But you do have to put on a bit of a broadcaster's voice. Mm. You can't just sit there. We're in the pub and we're talking like this. It's a bit boring, isn't it? So you need to be your authentic self, but also be aware that people actually are listening to this as
well. You're inviting someone into your opinion, aren't you?
Yeah.
The least you can do is actually sound like you're asked about what you're talking about and actually being there.
Exactly. And I think that's why, without patting myself on the back too early on, I think that's why I've been successful, because I am genuinely interested by every single person that comes through that door, because I know just how lucky I am to have this job. Like, I'm living my dream. Like, I always say this story that I struggled for a long time to come to terms with the YouTube money and from a boy that had nothing and sort of my dad, he works in a factory and does like 12-hour shifts, gets up at the crack of dawn and stuff. I've never had to do that. Like I'm so lucky, and I'll quickly tell you a real story that sort of humbled me, because over the years, there's been little moments where you get given tickets to this or you get this paycheck and you can lose your head very, very quickly if you're not careful. But I remember once I went to my granddad's funeral. He died of cancer quite quickly over like a 2-3 week period. Got back to Norwich, went on a night out, thought I'll have a few jars, try and forget this. Someone's came up to me in the nightclubs. That's always a hotbed for people coming up because there's no filter then. No, they've had a few.
Especially time of night,
This guy's come up to me and he's not a fan. Now, 99% of the time they are, and I'm not saying that to blow my own trumpet. I'm sure there's loads of people out there who don't like you, but you'll know this, Neil. They're not often the ones who come up to you in the street, are they? They're verbal online. Anyway, this guy's come up to me and he's sort of trying to sort of flex on me or whatever you call it. And he goes, hey, how much money have you made then? And I was pissed. I'd just been to my granddad's funeral. I was like, all right, I'll tell you then. So I told him.
Wow.
And I said, and how much do you earn? Because we'll flip it round.
Yeah.
He told me, and mine outweighed his by quite a lot. Yeah. And then I asked him what he does, and he worked on the cancer unit at a hospital.
Right. Oh, Christ.
And I thought, I don't regret what I said because he came to me and he asked me, but it really humbled me and put me in that perspective of I'm living my dream. So every time I go into that podcast room, when I get to sit down with people like yourselves as well, like, I'm very fortunate. I know how lucky I am to be here. And some YouTubers that fall off over time, I think that's because they think it's a God-given right.
I think that's exactly right, me. When I look at YouTube, right, there's some people that, for me, I've got no personalities at all, that do it for a living, mm-hmm. you with me? Do it to make money, what have you. Whereas I love my Amy listening to me on the way. She works at Truro Hospital in the radiotherapy department.
Mm. So she's in real life,
middle of
day.
It, real life. And she tells me how it is. Mm. And I admire her for what she does. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And it does make you, Jack, realise, doesn't it, how lucky we are to do something. I've been lucky for 40-odd years as a manager and another 50-odd years with a player to do something that I enjoy. And I always said to my boy, who's doing very well at golf now, to William, do something that you can enjoy, because you're working for a long time as a man. And if you can do something you enjoy, and if you can give a wider area, a bit of a bit of laughter, a bit of joy, I think you've swung the channel, mate.
Do you think the similarities Jack's saying there, because the way your career progressed quite quickly, well, when it got to that point where it did then blow up.
Yeah.
I presume there's no all-seeing eye at YouTube saying, well, you're going to get this much money, do this with it. Whereas in football, with younger players coming through, and from the management downwards, if you're that kind of bracket of the good all-encompassing boss, you're keeping an eye on younger players that burst through.
You have to do.
You mentioned about it, and it's a bit of an old footballing cliche, Jack, but it's akin to the kid who's played 10 games who suddenly rolls in a Range Rover or a Bentley, and you go, hang on, that's not quite right. But there's no monitoring of that. You can keep
you
control
can you
that.
Can. But he will see people that have had 10 games coming on a bloody Rolls Royce. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He'll know the YouTubers that like that, that think they've swam the channel, and all of a sudden they're going to hit a brick wall because they're not what I call not human beings. They haven't got the personality to do that. I think you've got to be successful. People have got to want to talk to you as well.
Yeah.
And they've got to receive, not just be given. And a lot of people, the negative thing for me on YouTube when I have looked at it with Amy is a lot of people, I don't think that I've got much of a personality trying to be somebody they're not instead of being themselves.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there. A lot of, back in 2015-16, there was a big YouTube group, bunch of posh kids, really. That some of them there by right, some of them not so much. Mm. And let's take the two sort of ringleaders. They made a lot of money, built this huge sort of empire, which you can't fault them for at all. They built that on their own. But then they realised, well, if I put my brother in my video, or my sister, or my mate, or my cousin, they're going to build a big profile from it as well. Because back then, kids would just follow it, whoever. Yeah. Now you actually need a voice. Yeah. So they built this whole sort of group, this sort of posse of posh YouTubers that had all of this money and all of this following, but like you said, Neil, they didn't have much about them. They didn't have much character, and that's when you can lose your way, because they're surrounded by the same people who think that it's a divine right.
Telling them as well, aren't they, how good they are?
Exactly that.
Telling them how, you know what it's like with players. Mm-hmm. Same thing, isn't it? You know, you come on, you have a first team game, and then you go back in reserves, and you shouldn't be here. You should be going to tell him you're better than that. You should get this, and you should get that. Mm. I remember my first contract at Chesterfield, right? And I'd been an amateur. I was working in office with some kids, with school kids and all sorts. And yeah, I goes in, I'm 18 years of age, and I'm in the pro. I've been in the first team for about 6 games. And you're going to get a new contract. You're going to get a contract as a pro. So the lads are in the dressing room, Ivan Ollett and Kevin Randall and all them. This is what you want to ask for, Neil.
The other pro saying,
yeah,
for this.
Listen, you need 25, 30 quid a week. This is in 60s. You need 25, 30 quid a week, 5 quid appearance, so much a goal, blah, blah, blah. Oh, thanks, lad. So Mr. McGuigan shouts me in. Come in, Neil. I've been very pleased with you, son. You've got in first team here. I'm giving you £15 a week, a £2 appearance, sign here. And I went, thank you. And I went out and I said, phew, I told him, yeah. I got everything that you said, lads. I got it all. You know, but I think they're good times then when you look back.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements. Featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
And it's all a part of the learning kit. I'm sure £15 isn't exactly YouTube money nowadays, is it? But Neil's talking about players and our experience. I said this side of the table. I mean, it's literally this side of the table. If you're watching this, this is like a job interview for you, Jack, isn't it? And you're acing it so far, so well done. You're a West Ham fan. Have you had any interaction with the current crop of players there, the lads that are on the staff?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, West Ham reached out to me and I'm now a presenter for them, which is a dream come true. Yeah. Like the day I got to go back to my old man and say, Dad, I'm working with West Ham. Like now I've done loads and loads of bits with them. So thankful for that opportunity. And just last week, I was with a few of the players down at Rush Green, and every single time I drive back to Norwich, I stop in at Thetford where my dad lives, and he's just finished his shift. And I go in there and I'm just showing him all the photos. I'm still a little kid when it comes to all that. Like when I'm working, I try and be as professional as I can, but I'm so giddy on the way back. So yeah,
that's a good bunch of lads. I mean, they seem like an extremely likeable set of lads.
Yeah, mate, I can't complain. I mean, this is the sort of real. I've interviewed like the odd footballer here and there along the way, but this is the first time I've got to know like a bunch of players. Mm. So I don't really have anything to compare them to, but everyone's been nice to me. Mm. The other day I had a bit of a tough one with you know, the new lad Skamaka.
Yes.
up top. I completely understand where he's coming from, because we were pre-recording for a Christmas episode, and we do a show at West Ham called Snack Wars, where we get some players, we give them some food from their own country, and they have to rate it against the like British food or whatever. But we're pre-recording for Christmas. This is in June. Hottest day of the year. We're in this little sort of cabin thing. They've just finished training.
Yeah, yeah.
They do not want to be doing this whatsoever.
No, it's off an extracurricular.
So I'm wearing a Christmas jumper, and then we sit down with Pablo Fornals, Ben Johnson, and Skamaka. Skamaka sits there, and I'm trying to get him to eat cranberry sauce in 35 degree heat. I'm like, please, Gianluca, for me. And he just looks at me and goes, please, for me. Don't ask. I was like, okay. But it was a really nice moment, actually, because I think I was losing him a little bit. Like he's new to the club and to the country as well.
He
probably thought, "What the fuck are we doing here?" Like, I didn't have a clue. But there was a lovely moment when Pablo Fornals started. I sort of know him from going away on Europa League tours, and well, just the one, but hopefully more to come. And Gianluca was being a little bit cold towards me, but as I say, completely understand. And Pablo starts speaking to him in Italian as well, which I didn't even know he could do.
Right.
And he goes, Gianluca. He goes, no. West Ham, love West Ham, and then basically explains to him,
that
I'm not just a journalist. I'm not even a journalist.
Club, basically.
I'm part of the club. I could be making this up because he's speaking in Italian, but I'm picking up enough sort of words in between it to hear that, and that meant a lot to me, just knowing that like Premier League players got my back when it comes to something. Well,
like that. Because I mean that's it's probably changed in your managerial career, Neil, because. I mean, these extracurricular media responsibilities now at the Premier League level must be that far reaching and wide range, because it used to be the local paper. Can you have 10 minutes with such and such after training?
It's national now, isn't it? Everywhere is national. And there's always something the lads like at West Ham, but every club does it. Something usually for charity and stuff like that at Christmas time. But West Ham, I mean, over my career, I've had a few really good games with them. I've got some fans, some friends of mine who are West Ham fans as well. They don't tell them that they're friends of mine.
No.
and I remember because of them fans that I know, I made sure you didn't win the league once.
Right.
On the last game, before you were born, I think.
Right.
I was at Notts County and we played West Ham last game.
Yeah.
Nothing at stake, only for West Ham. Them or Sheffield Wednesday won the league, and with nothing to play for. And I did one of my team talks, one of my now famous team talks. I'm glad they didn't have that one on. In the dressing room. And you could, the windows opened in the old West Ham bowling. And the windows opened and we opened them all. I said, get all them windows open. And as they were coming past the fans, you know, and I were going, this is, they think we've come for nothing to play for. I want us to go and, you know, they've got to do this, we've got to do that. I want you to show me today what we're up again. Blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, during the game, I think it was 0-0. And they all started clapping as if they, and I said, what's happening? Oh, somebody's losing. We've won the league.
Yeah.
So they're all shaking. I think it was Frank's dad, Lampard.
Yeah.
And they're all shaking his hand and all that. Well done and all this, that and other. So my man said, I don't know what they're. I said, well, anyhow, I'll go. So I went across and shook his hand. Well done, congratulations. And Mark Draper scored two cracking goals. And then in injury time, all of a sudden, it was the weirdest thing went round. Sheffield Wednesday had come back from losing. And they got a result, and so West Ham hadn't won it, and we'd won it because of my two goals, my draper.
And everyone was shaking hands.
Yeah, they were all shaking and well done and all that.
You stopped the Hammers winning the league?
Yeah, I did. I stopped the Hammers winning the league.
Can we stop these cameras rolling now? You've just broke my heart, Neil. You've absolutely.
But on the flip side, with your Sheffield United side,
we
let West
Ham them win. Yeah, we let them play an illegal player.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't mind that.
Yeah. That cost
me £1 million. There you go. Nothing. I'm not bitter.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Just about over it.
I think it's best if I say no comment to that because I loved every second of Tevez being there.
Fantastic player. Of course.
Hell of a player.
And the type of player that, as a fan, you can't help but love, can you?
No, exactly.
Works his socks off and all. Yeah. That's what I liked about him. Mm. Whoever he played against, he'd give it 100% everywhere.
We've got a little bit of that in Gianluca Scamacca as well.
And they've done well, obviously, because obviously the big stick that was getting beaten or used to beat West Ham with was the atmosphere at the ground. Mm-hmm. It always used to make me laugh because I remember doing games when Slaven Bilic was there and we were chatting to him just the other week because he's obviously now the new Watford manager. Mm-hmm. Because there'd be something that twigged in the manager on the bench and it'd take him 20 minutes to get to the touchline to make his point. By the time he's got there, he looks around kind of going, what was it again? I remember what it was. So then he comes all the way back and you manage to get through that and create that bit of atmosphere now, and it's a wonderful place to go and watch football. So that's in a positive light. I'm intrigued to know, Jack, given your presence online, and we'll get Neil's take on this in just a sec, as much as you have people that like you and follow you, and part of what interaction is online is it's the Wild West to be able to say whatever you want, whenever you want. Mm-hmm. So I presume to get to where you've got to, there's a certain element where you've got to be very, very thick-skinned. Mm-hmm. Do you take comment like that seriously? Is it offensive? Is it in any way? Have you learned how to deal with that?
I have a little bite back at them. Mm. You know, I quite like it. I've sort of made a name for myself calling people out for X, Y, and Z. So when people want to call me out, I think fair enough. Like,
that must be lovely, Jack. I wish I could.
You probably could, Neil. I've seen your videos where you're shouting at, that's for fucking Muscat. You should just reply that to everyone.
Yeah. Stop trade answer.
But I've had some ups and downs. One of the biggest downs was sort of last year. A lot of West Ham fans just, I don't know why, they couldn't get on board with the fact that I went over to the Europa out to like Frankfurt and Seville and all these places. They couldn't get on board. I understand a part of it, right? So West Ham hired me as a presenter to go over there and document what it's like from a fan's perspective.
Mm. But working.
So, working, but also showing the fan experience, which some fans said it wasn't the true fan experience, which I completely understand because we'd go to the grounds the day before when Moyes is doing the press conference and that. So it's not the true fan. But also, I'm out there with the fans in the terraces giving away signed Declan Rice shirts, Ben Johnson shirts, all of this. So I'm a lifelong West Ham fan. I've got the castle, the old castle there, right? I would snap your hand up for that job, right? And not a lot of West Ham fans know this, but I turned down a fee to do it because I love working with West Ham. But where I went wrong, or arguably where West Ham fans think where I went wrong, is I needed a cameraman to go with me. So I brought my mate Stevie White, who's the co-host on my podcast, mainly because we're a bit of a duo online anyway. So it's if I bring my mate from Norwich who works in a car garage, no one knows who he is. He's busy, whereas Stevie comes. But Stevie's a Man United fan. So this caused a lot of problems. We're out there in these tickets are like gold dust. You know, West Ham don't always get on to Europa League semi-final. And then there was a lot of sort of shit on Twitter that I'd taken a Man United fan to the game. My argument is we're working, so we're getting tickets that would have been allocated to journalists or press or anything anyway. And at the end of the day, like, Declan Rice is a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
He's playing for us. Like, I'm representing our team. I am a West Ham fan. Stevie's operates professionally when he's over there. Like, what am I supposed to do? Find a camera guy that I'm also as close with that just so happens to be a lifelong West Ham fan as well. Like,
I think what you think is at Jack's age, I think you want to respond to all the negativity, all the bad.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
You want to tell them how it is, and I think as you get older, you realise, well, they are knobheads. Really. So let it go over your head. Are you with me? Let it go over your head, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
The people at home, unfortunately, you always get some. No matter how many millions you get, you always get a few that want to headline it. And they think they've got to say something bad to get their little 5 minutes of glory. Mm. They're almost like traffic wardens, aren't they? they've got to have their moment.
Yeah.
And I think, as you get older, you've got to let them go over. You haven't even got to reply to them. I know it's hard, because when you're Jack's age, you want to reply to them all. And then, you know, so what if he's a Man United? He's doing the camera. Mm. So, you know, you don't have to reply to them. Sometimes when you reply to them, it fuels them and they love it.
You are so...
It's harder sometimes not to reply.
Yeah. Bang on there, like 100%. Like I bite to so many of them as well. And then they take that as a win. Like if they tweet me and then I'll give them the facts, they'll go, we've got one here, lads. Yeah, like, and then I'm like, well, I've lost then, have I? Because I've done that.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, Neil, how did you deal with it? Like when you was a gaffer, like, because you went on Twitter when you was managing, were you? I think it was just after you got on all that. Like,
it's the last few months with this lot. Yeah.
Right.
Really?
What about the entourage it's got?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I won't tell you who it were, but I was at my daughter's a couple of years ago, and there was a famous player on. And she said, look at this, Dad. This is a Twitter account. And she showed me, and took the kids to school. I've had this for breakfast, and I've had that for breakfast. I said, who the hell wants to know about me having taking you to school, darling? Or going? And I thought, well, what's happening here? I can't ever go on that. But I've enjoyed doing the humorous things that we've done. You know, like the government and number 10 or number 11. I've enjoyed putting pictures in and saying things that the ordinary punter would have said to give us a laugh. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But I don't want people to know what I've had for breakfast, mate. Bloody, yeah.
Did you see the one? I could be wrong here, but I think it was Wanyama. You remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
think he tweeted an apology. So forgive me if I've got the wrong player, but there was a footballer that tweeted an apology for something they'd done in the game. But his tweet read, "Can you tweet?" and then the apology. So he's just
say something like,
he's just copied it from the PR team or whatever and posted that and forgot to take out the "Can you tweet something like?"
I mean this sincerely from my management team. Yeah. That's why I'm really bothered about that.
Well, at least everybody knows I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. So,
but I mean, Jack, that's such a pertinent thing to mention, though, with regards to players tweeting, because...
It used to be a nightmare. I know what you're going to say, Dave.
Well, then
it used to be a bloody nightmare for me as a manager.
So it's whether what Cardiff, they say or what people say to them. That's another strand of management, isn't
it? Nearly cost us promotion at Cardiff with the skipper, Sean Murray. He'll not mind me saying Sean. But he was Twittering to Lincoln... Derby County, we had a game called off for the snow. I don't know where you remember it.
Were you there that day?
No. I remember ringing Sky up and saying, I want to be interviewed on the pitch.
Yeah, and then we sent someone down.
Yeah, you did. And they put all the snow, they moved it all into one pile, and they were taking a picture of this pile of snow with the ground behind to get it off. It was only about... I mean, I said to him, not in a million years. They got a load of injuries.
Yeah.
Gary Rowett told me about 18 months ago, we did get it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. We did get it off. The FA can't do him now, I don't think, for that. So we knew that. But the lads were all, the Derby lads and the Cardiff lads were all on this Twitter thing then, doing this, that and the other. And Morrison said something, which they all brought back up. And when we played him in midweek after it was hostile. And it didn't help. It didn't help what he said. And I said to him, I hope you... Anyway, we got beat in the end. And we then had to go to Hull to win, to get up, really, on the Saturday after that. It didn't help us one bit. And I said to him, look, lads, I know... I don't mind you all going on there, but you've got to remember that your responsibility to the football club. You're not just Mr. Average.
Yeah.
People are going to look at your tweets from nationally, not just our fans. But some lads can't actually... cope. They don't see the damage that he can do. Are you with me? It's such a powerful platform now that they don't see the what's going to happen to some of the tweets, because take it down straight away, but if you'd have told me when I started off 40-50 years ago about all this social media, I'd have thought you were insane. So it'll be interesting to see.
And now we know more. We still think it's insane.
Yeah.
But what I like about Jackie is how he's full of it, fresh, and that's how his programme comes out, no doubt. I mean, I ain't got a clue what it's like. But it obviously comes over well because he's successful. But I think it's his enthusiasm. Mm. And that's what, I mean, I'm 73, but I've got more enthusiasm than some managers at 50.
Yeah.
I look at some of them, the most miserable people I've ever met, and they're managers. And then they look at, you know, they get a notebook and they write down, Aunt Benji, what are they doing with a notebook? I always say, is that a shopping list? Is he writing down, I've got to go to Tesco's after the game? What do they write down on the bench?
This is why this podcast is just going to go from strength to strength, just because you're just so authentic, so honest. Like, and without blowing too much smoke, I think you're the best person to do a podcast, Neil, just because you've got...
You've done well then, Dave, haven't you? Coming on here.
Similar. Been pestering you with phone calls.
It's a similar sort of like elk to like Ian Holloway, though. Like, got enough sort of career under the belt that you've got stories for days and days and days, and you're not shy to shy them as well. You're not what? You're not shy. Wow, God, it's been an early start.
Share to shy.
You're not shy to share them as well. And I'm looking forward to listening to more episodes of this as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming on yours as well, Jack. Really, yeah. We've had that many offers since I packed in, but right. I don't want to just do any. You know, any sort of podcast.
Any old rubbish, you want the big ones. Yeah. Right? That's what, yeah. That's
and
what
especially, I ain't got a clue what Jack is, so I'm looking forward to that. You know? Amy tells me he's famous.
Well, it sounds like there's a firm friendship being started here, a budding bromance. Jack, I mean, it's amazing to have you on. Thank you so much. You've taught us both a lot. I'll be intrigued to talk about this.
Thanks, Jack.
In podcasts to come. It. Of course, this is You've Got to Die for 3 points. Please like, subscribe, comment. I'm sure you've got plenty to say off the back of this one, and we shall see you next time.
We're in London, aren't we?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.